Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, May 22nd, 2008. Or excuse me, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. That'd be a long time ago, wouldn't it? It's 2018. It is, things are getting stranger in this country all the time. And that sounds cliche, but honestly, looking at some headlines yesterday, last night in particular, I thought I was reading headlines from The Onion. That's how weird things are getting. And I remember Alan Watt a number of years ago, when Brazil by Terry Gilliam came out back in 1985, Alan Watt saying, you know, how weird that scenario is. Guys dressed in black rappelling out of the ceiling in restaurants, for example, and just weird stuff like that. And about 10 years ago, when we started seeing those stories, I used to mention stories of moms dropping off books at the school in a milk crate with a brown paper bag over it, and someone called DHS, and everyone was freaked out, and that was weird. And now look where we are. The Texas thing, the Santa Fe High School thing, is just another utterly absurd installment in a dystopic nightmare, and it doesn't make sense. You know, and it apparently doesn't have to make sense. You know, the BuzzFeed headline, I think, said it all. It took police 4 minutes to confront the Texas school shooter, but 30 minutes to capture him. What? And then you look at all of the other headlines that are still rolling out with, there are headlines as vastly different as they confronted police confronted the suspect for 15 minutes. There was a shootout for 15 minutes, and then it's 25 minutes. So, which is basically the same thing the BuzzFeed story is saying. That's a big difference. You know, NBC Southern California yesterday, Santa Fe school shooter arrested after 25 minutes, sheriff. So that's an example. And then, one of the other stories, let's see if I can – I don't have one of the other ones handy, but I saw the 15-minute stories yesterday too. Let's see. Where is that? To the effect that, you know, the confrontation only lasted 15 minutes instead of 25, which is, that's weird too, because if we're to believe what we've been told or what we've been fed, you know, you look at the 9/11 dispatch, and that doesn't make sense. And what I mean is, what happened to the 2-hour gap, basically? So anyway, we'll talk about some of that. I will mention some of these odd headlines that I saw yesterday. I'll just start. Well, before I do that, though, I'm going to back up a little bit. Yesterday, Richie from Boston was on. Always a pleasure and a privilege. there's a controversy online. I don't really know what that's all about. I don't think it's very Christian-like to make accusations. The Bible says that there's one who is the accuser of the brethren. So, you know, I don't know what all of that's about. I thought we were going to sort of get into that yesterday. It was my understanding that was one of the things Richie wanted to address. But who knows? Maybe we'll do that later or not, as Richie would say. So there's that. The bottom line is I don't know what the controversy is about. I try not to get myself entangled in those kinds of things. It's interesting how it's no small point. It's no small observation. And I will admit, I am I'm talking to myself as much as anyone when I mention the words virtue, morality, and religion. Our constitutional republic was founded on virtue, morality, and religion. Those are the foundational pillars, if you will, that those founding documents are anchored on. And it's difficult. I admit it. It's challenging. Particularly the vitriolic attacks and the sideswipes, you know, the sideswiping and folks that just want to grind an axe and misbehave, I suppose. And the series, I'll finish that this week. I think, you know, the narcissism, identity politics, color revolution, and the CIA obviously lends itself to that. Candace Owens has that video, in spite of Kanye West, that she did for Prager University about, you know, the black card, basically. It is interesting. We are being led to believe in this society that we should hear from victims, and really it's folks who aren't victims most of the time. You know, Parkland, for example, none of the kids that you hear from actually were folks who were involved in the situation. And I'm not trying to marginalize or downplay any tragedy or anyone who was affected by it. However, it is interesting, I think it's provocative, to realize that, you know, Parkland in particular is an incident where we see the media really force feeding us folks who are obviously, they have been groomed. And I mean that very literally. David Hogg, for example, I've mentioned several times, you know, you go back before the Valentine's Day massacre and you look at his Twitter feed, the kid can't spell. He's a very inarticulate, clumsy young man. Which, you know, I think many of us can relate to. I certainly can. I was not that I am now, but I wasn't as articulate then as I am now. But suddenly David Hogg goes through transformation after Valentine's Day. What happened? Before Valentine's Day, very inarticulate, very, you know, underinformed or uninformed on the issues, talking on Reddit about his Adderall getting in the way, or certain things getting in the way of his Adderall. And then suddenly he's pontificating on an issue that people have thought deeply about for hundreds of years. That's interesting. And the rest of the kids were force-fed these folks who were groomed. Who groomed them and why? It's very obvious when you look at the disparity in David Hogg's Twitter feed before Valentine's Day and afterward. It's obvious. He didn't just sit down, you know, the weekend after and pour through the Federalist Papers and Anti-Federalist Papers and so on and so on. So that's challenging. You have that, and you know, that all in accordance with this creeping narrative. We see it all around us. This creeping encroachment. I might play a couple of clips actually today. There was last week as part of the nonsense, the celebrations, and folks don't realize what Israel, or so-called Israel, British Zionist Israel, celebrated on May 14th, Palestinians basically celebrated the opposite, or commemorated, marked the opposite the following day. You think about it. So this contrivance known as Israel, by and large, by the world, which is a clever counterfeit, a deception. It's not the biblical Israel. They're not Jacob's descendants, and there's no, you know, I defy anyone to make that claim. First of all, there can be no distinguishing what we see today that is referred to as Israel from the establishment, basically, that created it over several decades. It wasn't a day. It was over several decades. I've talked about that. Anyway, so after the expiration of the British mandate on May 14, 1948, these people just decide, and obviously the decision was made even before the British mandate. But and that was something that I touched on by pointing to Theodore Herzl's archives, Walid Khalidi's article referring to from Herzl's archives, the charter, you know, the Jewish Ottoman Land Company charter, basically to divide up the Ottoman Empire and to start the Greater Israel Project before the turn of the 20th century, before World War I, before World War II. And you can go, there are videos and folks who have done some research to dig through the newspaper archives from around the country, the big ones in particular. And you find that 6,000, or excuse me, that 6 million number before the turn of the 20th century and at the early 20th. Why is that? Jews, 6 million Jews, and, you know. But these folks that were in Palestine prior to the Balfour Declaration, and what does it say? And I always come back to that. If you want to create a conflict, here's a great way to do it. You write a letter. And what did these people have to do with this? Again, the Jewish Ottoman Land Company, what did the indigenous peoples have to do with these deals that were brokered? Nothing. So there's the Balfour Declaration. Who wrote it? Probably mostly attributed to Milner. It was an inside deal, basically, and probably not Balfour. He was the point guy on it, the mule, basically, to the public. But the letter says, His Majesty's government view with favor, and who to whom is it addressed? Dear Lord Rothschild. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and we use our best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. It being clearly understood, which sounds like shall not be infringed to me. It's plain language. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. So if you fast forward to May 14, 1948, that was clearly already being violated. And then afterward, there are intriguers at work, and man, the sophistry might touch on that. So Nura Arakat is one of the voices that is pretty good at when she's on mainstream press. She was on CBS a few times last week. She's one of the folks that straightens out the narrative, because it's always crooked, you know. More than a dozen have died. More than a dozen whom? And as Allison Weir has pointed out, you'll never hear that. And as you know, folks like Allison Weir, Nura Arakat, and others have pointed out, well, as Nura Arakat was pointing out last week, you know, you hear about the violence, you know, and some of the talking heads ask, well, why do you suppose Palestine is so outraged by Israel's response? It totally mischaracterizes what happened. So these kinds of things, the point is, it's very frustrating because there is a war. It's an ideological war. It's being waged. People don't even realize it's being fought. And it's largely misdirection. And a big component of that is to get people off arguing about things that don't matter, which is why, as I went through the Death Cult Ideology series and speaking of the series on narcissism, identity politics, color revolution, and the CIA, same thing. Ezra Pound's quote, the technique of infamy is to invent two lies and to get you arguing heatedly over which one of them is true. Arguing heatedly. This is a point that we see echoed over and over. John Lennon, before he had to take a dirt nap, said that. If they can get you fighting, if they can get you stirred up, if they can pull your beard and, you know, get you off balance, basically, then they know how to deal with you. It's very difficult, is the point. So coming back to those foundational sentiments, Benjamin Franklin, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. I'll mention that on the other side of the break. We're headed into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. It's difficult. It's challenging to have a conversation. We're being conditioned to be vicious and brutal. And I've talked several times about how passages like 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 talk about that in the last days. Realize this, that difficult times will come and men will be, they'll behave like that, brutal, reckless, treacherous, this kind of thing. And it behooves us all. We're being driven, you know, as John Adams put it in 1765 in his dissertation on the canon and feudal law, we are being led and driven to irretrievable destruction. I think he was right. You know, he said there seems to be a subtle design on foot to enslave all America. We need to wake up. Let every sluice of knowledge be set aflowing. The problem today is it's not knowledge, it's information. And there's inflation, which devalues the currency of information and is used to mislead people, to create things like limited hangouts and so forth, which has a very deleterious effect. But virtue, morality, and religion are the central tenets of our constitutional republic. Without those, like Patrick Henry said, we are conquered, fallen indeed. Benjamin Franklin, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. John Adams, our constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And it's, you know, it's a profound truth. It's a profound, simple truth. Benjamin Franklin, his observation, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. It's profound, but it's simple and true. And so you see evidence of the insanity all around us. You know, last week, the issue, I can't believe that things aren't worse with the Israel-Palestine conflict that has been fomented for decades. So the point was, imagine yourself, you hear someone, well, I mean, just to use a simple analogy, imagine someone moved into your house one day and said, well, you know, we have a right to be here, a divine right to be here. But we promise we won't do anything to, and this was an internal dialogue they were having that wasn't even with you. We have a right to be here, but we promise we won't do anything to disparage the rights of those who already live here. And so you think that's awkward, but that's not nearly as awkward as it's going to get. And so they move in and slowly, over the course of time, they start to sort of take over your entire home. And they never really establish any boundaries, but they constantly keep preaching to you about boundaries. Meanwhile, they overstep those boundaries repeatedly and then gaslight you and project their nonsense on you as if you're the offender, when actually they are the interloper. So, you know, that situation, imagine how frustrating that would be. And we see it in other places. The Monk debates, for example, Jordan Peterson, Stephen Fry, Michael Eric Dyson, and Michelle Goldberg. I mean, you can hear it in that language when Michael Eric Dyson refers to Jordan Peterson as an angry white man. If Jordan Peterson said, "Well, I think you're an angry black man," oh my goodness, people would erupt across the Western world. But it's okay for Michael Eric Dyson to exercise that kind of hypocrisy. And so you can see, more importantly, I mean, that's just them, but that's the ideologues in the fashion of Mike Huckabee's quote that I always mention, to create havoc in the world. And, you know, what has Jordan Peterson said about that? He talks about the, you know, the order and the chaos, which is esoteric language, which to me goes along with that clip that we played of him saying, you know, I think it's interesting. You see the eye in all these things, and it's an homage. It's a symbol of the revivification of things, which is a bad guy term. You know, are we creating golems? Revivify, that's the term that you're going to choose. For the esoteric all-seeing eye, that's odd. So anyway, in this intellectual debate, you can see in the search traffic that it was the Me Too movement was attached to, or it's associated, adhered to the Monk debates. There was a lot of Me Too traffic. And what does that do? That foments conflict. Michael Eric Dyson's comments were particularly odious, I would say. And so what do? You know, it's WWF wrestling. It's theater. At the end of the day, they go home to a Brazilianized existence. Meanwhile, the broader general masses are sucked into a conflict. We'll be right back.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
I'm going to bounce around a little bit today. We'll freestyle a little bit. And the phone lines are open. We'll open up the phone lines, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So bear with me, I guess. So I mentioned in the first segment that last night, looking at the some of the news articles that I saw, so-called anyway, because really where is there such a thing? These days you can look across the landscape of so-called mainstream media and news coverage and see a very tightly controlled, very scripted narrative. But, you know, Mr. Bordop sends me a screenshot from his Facebook feed, and on trending, there's the Instagram story, Instagram's new mute option, which is the Business Insider story on that, which is ridiculous. The Orlando, Florida story, Orlando police testing Amazon's real-time facial recognition. That's an NPR story. And Washington Post, supermarket censors summa cum laude from graduation cake. All of this just echoes my point, you know, and His quip, I suppose, to that was, you know, it's the WTF news feed. And why is the facial recognition article lower than the Instagram getting its mute button? And I say exactly, or why is either one of them even a story? This is, isn't this America? It's so weird. It's off the charts bizarre. We are definitely in the Twilight Zone. You know, nothing Rod Serling cooked up, I think, eclipses where we're at right now. So there's that, the story. And so getting back to the conflict, you know, Larry sends me the CBS News. Speaking of CBS snooze or not, the article, McDonald's workers, that was yesterday, the coverage of that. McDonald's workers march on New Chicago HQ for $15 an hour wages. And so you're really telling me that I'm supposed to believe that folks who are allegedly clamoring for a $15 an hour minimum wage, and that's such a great idea because it works so well in Seattle, fight for 15, that they have time to go organize and protest. They have the resources to amass a protest, and they're chanting in coordination. I mean, if it doesn't sound like the classic textbook example of crowds on demand telling the poor, desperate people, the allegedly disenfranchised, giving them the theater to allegedly represent them, I don't know what is a better representation. And again, this, you know, this is textbook what Huckabee, his distillation of Marxism. I mean, it's textbook Marxism. So Mike Huckabee, 10 years ago, again, that soundbite on the road to the White House, the presidential campaign trail, he said, besides the threat of small groups of educated people launching isolated attacks, we face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. A strong middle class is the firewall. I believe in conjunction with that concept, and I believe that there's something very real and tangible about that. If you're a middle class person, you've established some level of comfort and society, so to speak, that you don't want to disrupt in simplest terms. But the poor, desperate, allegedly disenfranchised, what do I mean by allegedly? Well, again, I think that Candace Owens' remarks are fitting here in spite of Kanye West. You know what she said about her grandfather? Maybe we'll play that video, the PragerU playing the black card video. It's so politically incorrect, but you know, or incorrect. But then that is borderline vicious. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. So to sort of bridge the gap, the letter I was thinking of yesterday when Richie and I were talking about how people are busy these days. And so this concept of what Huckabee talked about, you need folks, the disenfranchised masses, you need the intellectuals to provide the theory, the spark, and then rally the oppressed peasants behind them, the folks who aren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They don't have time. They're too busy. Well, Thomas Jefferson talked about that. The letter that I couldn't think of was his letter to Samuel Kercheval back in 1816, June 12, 1816. And in it, he wrote, "I am not among those who fear the people. They, and not the rich, are our dependents for continued freedom, and to preserve their independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude." That one sentence is enough to ruminate on for quite some time. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. If we run into such debts, and here it comes, if we run into such debts as that we must be taxed in our meat and in our drink, in our necessaries and our comforts, in our labors and our amusements. It kind of sounds like America today, doesn't it? This is supposed to be hyperbole. We're taxed in everything, you know. Everything's regulated in tax. Well, guess what? We've done that and more. We've gone beyond. "For our callings and our creeds, as the people of England are, but we want to be like them, don't we? Well, maybe in some ways, but not in all. Then like them, we must come to labor 16 hours in the 24, giving the earnings of 15 of these to the government for their debts and daily expenses, and the 16th being insufficient to afford us bread, we must live as they now do on oatmeal and potatoes, have no time to think, no means of calling the mismanagers to account, but be glad to obtain subsistence by hiring ourselves to rivet their chains on the necks of our fellow sufferers." The plantation expanded, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, after the uncivil war. "Our landholders, too, like theirs, retaining indeed the title and stewardship of estates called theirs, but held really in trust for the treasury," again, it all sounds familiar, "must wander like theirs in foreign countries." And again, this echoes John Adams' sentiments in the his dissertation on the canon and feudal law in 1765, saying the same thing. It's an illusion to call the feudal system anything but the feudal system. But continuing, "like theirs in foreign countries, and be contented with penury, obscurity, exile, and the glory of the nation." This example reads to us as the salutary lesson that private fortunes are destroyed by public as well as private extravagance. And this is the tendency of all human governments. This is the tendency of all human governments. Nothing personal, everyone. This is what governments do, Jefferson instructs us. A departure from principle in one instance becomes a precedent for a second, that second for a third, and so on, till the bulk of society is reduced to be mere automatons of misery and have sensibilities left but for no sensibilities left but for sinning and suffering. Then begins indeed the bellum omnium in omnia, which some philosophers observe to be the so general in this world, have mistaken it for the natural instead of the abusive state of man. And this is the state that's been engineered, I would add, in the in the wake of the creation of the CIA. There will be no peace in the world as long as the CIA exists. Let's just be clear about that. Continuing, Jefferson wrote, "And the four horse of this frightful team is public debt. Taxation follows that, and in its train, wretchedness and oppression." So we have all of that. We have chosen profusion and servitude. We have the taxation of everything ad hominem, ad infinitum, I should say. We have the feudal system that's been reimposed. We have the departure from principle in every instance. Again, the Santa Fe High School is the latest round of that. We have the bellum omnium in omnia, which is mistaken as the natural instead of the abusive state of man, but that, again, is engineered. And the four horse of the frightful team, which is public debt, and we have taxation that follows that, and in its train, we have the wretchedness and oppression. We have all of it. It's like we followed the opposite recipe of what Jefferson advocated. But the point I was making, speaking of virtue and morality, virtue, morality, and religion, as the founders put it, Jefferson's letter, the one that I had them both together, the letter to Samuel Kirchhoff in 1816 and the letter to William Jarvis in 1820, September 28th, 1820. In the letter to William Jarvis, speaking of virtue, morality, and religion, I've mentioned several times that Jefferson had a fundamental difference of opinion with William Jarvis, yet he was very dignified and respectful. You know, this was the letter he said, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves, and if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." His next sentence, "Pardon me, sir, for this difference of opinion. Imagine if at the Monk debates everyone said, 'Pardon me, sir or ma'am, for this difference of opinion,' but can you imagine what kind of ripple effect that would have in the community?" And so in similar fashion to what Mike Huckabee mentioned 10 years ago regarding Marxism and how essential eviscerating the middle class is, you have to have the oppressed peasants, the intellectual equivalent is also required, which Huckabee speaks to, but Jefferson speaks to that as the antidote. You know, to if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to foment color revolution so that then we can pretend that they are their own worst enemy and, you know, they can't be trusted with civil discourse, so we have to take that away from them. The remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. Anyway, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes. I loved that Irish guy, Darren, recently.
Yeah.
And I also loved Harley. Harley gave me hope.
Yeah.
Because it sounded, you see, actually, I think the Lyndon LaRouche people are closest to the mark, okay? Because, like, even one of their videos is called "It's the British Empire, Stupid."
Isn't that interesting, though? Again, I mean, how far we've come. There was a time not long ago when the LaRouche pack basically was you know, I mean,
and they're practically invisible now.
Well, what I'm saying in simple terms, there's that, but also they were pretty, you know, you could call sort of a hardcore leftist, liberal sort of organization, socialist, and now they seem conservative by, you know, the passage of time.
See, I think we have to get past that. Like you said, both are lies. I think we have to be careful about starting that whole liberal conservative thing, because I think, like, both, you know, we have to kind of realize there's, like, lies on both sides and kind of get out of those camps. But
it's true, but I'm just saying from an ideological standpoint, it's interesting how we have been set adrift, and I think there is a real moral aspect. It is a specious conflict between left and right, you know, what Quigley said
I like Harley, and I think he should be on more and all, because we have to come together to beat these people. You know, I recently watched a video called The Truth About British Royals, and if you go to about the 10-minute mark, because this is what people need to understand, okay, is about the 10-minute mark, this guy says, it was World War One and World War Two was a war of the rich against the poor. He said when they bombed, in other words, it's like Germany and English, in other words, there was almost cooperation between the wealthy Europeans, okay, to kill off, and for World War One, World War Two, from what they said, killed 45 million people. Those were 45 million white folks killed by each other. That's what we have to understand. It was the rich people. He pointed out that they, you know, them castles are a big target, right? You think, and that would be like a real coup to, like, you know, never all those bombings and never hit the castles. They were bombing the poor neighborhoods of England.
Right.
Now,
right.
Gee, doesn't that sound like there's some cooperation between England and Germany, and the whole thing is a farce? Like I said, so the thing is, people need to understand, it's your own kind that has wiped out so many of you, the rich people and their order followers, because 45 million people, okay, having been lived and reproduced, how much larger our numbers would be. So the thing is, they need to get over this thinking that just because you white, you my friend. Because those rich people do not care about you. They don't want.
Absolutely.
They want to use you up for labor and then throw you off, pay you as little as possible, use you to take as much for themselves as they want. They are not your friend. These people can't get over this, you know.
And by the same token, speaking of the monk debates, you know, just because someone is you know, has a certain skin tone, does not mean they're your enemy either. They
exactly.
Want to divide people, balkanize people.
If they have power, so. They can be just as evil.
Yeah, stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Those people in
Hold
Africa,
that thought, Renee. We're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But
welcome back.
I don't care.
Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. We're on the phones and we're kind of bouncing around a little bit. But what were you going to say there at the end of the segment, Renee?
Yeah, it's about power, okay? And this is something
and control
discussed much more in the past, because in Africa you have some brutal black dictator types. In Africa, too. It's about power. So this has nothing to do with color so much as it is power, okay? Because if you give power to whatever group, power corrupts, okay? That's, you know, and like I say, there's some brutal, horrible black dictators in Africa. But then also, too, everything's about power. Like anybody looks into Belgium's King Leopold and what he did in the Congo. We never talk about that genocide where he killed probably 10 to 15 million black people. If they didn't bring back enough rubber that day, they'd cut off their right hand. You know, and so there's a lot of the ugly history that is, you know, whitewashed and airbrushed and swept under the rug. But the thing is that people find uncomfortable. So, look, it has nothing to do with color. But if King Leopold had been black and Africans had been white, okay, it would have been the same thing.
It's a fomented conflict, though. And yeah, lots of folks have pointed out, you make a great point, and lots of folks have pointed out that is, again, as I've tried to point out on this broadcast many times, you know, the Israel-Palestine fomented contrived conflict is a prime example of people playing their roles and drawing people in, creating the victimhood psychopathy, and then having those people become the mouthpiece of a certain disenfranchised minority to foment conflict. And again, I think that Candace Owens, you know, her little talk, we'll probably play that in the second hour, is a good point. But to kind of encapsulate a lot of what you said and draw some of those points together. I agree. Harley should be on more often. Harley Schlanger, for those who don't know, he was on last Friday's National Intel Report. Yesterday was great too. I think it was Mark Anderson yesterday. That was fantastic. He's a brilliant guy.
Oh, you know, another thing I wanted to tell you. You know, with all this royal stuff, I said, oh, I got to go see what David Icke has to say about this. I wish he didn't bring up them damn reptilians, because really he's one of the brighter bulbs on
well,
a lot of things.
You gotta,
so if you go
that's
look
pretty
into
self-explanatory.
The royal wedding, what's that?
I said, yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory. That's like Will Ferrell and what's her name, you know, doing alter egos covering it. To me, that all kind of falls into the same contrived, you know, cartoonish boat. Anyway, that'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Folks, we're on the phones. We'll be right back after this short break. Stick around.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.